everybody. This is so exciting. This is the Hallmarkies podcast, and we are here to talk about 2018 non-Christmas. We're giving our favorites. It's going to be very fun. I'm Rachel, and Amber's here.
Wait, what? Amber's here? I know, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. You can rewind. This is Amber. She's back. You thought I had died or quit. You were right. I did quit, but not the podcast, my other job. And now I have a better job, but it was very stressful December.
Yeah. She was one of those like stressed out because of business people.
I was in a Hallmark movie. Can I just tell you a thing? We had a secret Santa, not a secret Santa, a white elephant party.
Yeah.
And there was like a stuffy attorney guy that I was like, oh, just experience the joy of Christmas, because he was going to not bring a present. And I tricked him into doing presents. So I feel like I was living a Hallmark movie minus the love. I was like the quirky side character.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of you for whatever we did. It's hard to start a new job. And we are very grateful to all the co-hosts and to everybody, especially Amy, who did so many episodes with us, with me. I really appreciate everybody who helped make it all work, and it was a lot of fun. And so we're excited to have Amber back, and we have our special good friend Ruth Hill is here.
Hi, nice to be back.
Yeah, thanks so much. We both made it through the Christmas season.
Yeah.
I'm proud of both of us.
I feel like it's more stressful to be Ruth than it is to be you.
Well, I don't have a child. So there you go. Ruth has a child. And she lives with a family, where I live by myself. So that helps. So
I'm just saying, like, stop bragging. Ruth is the one who should brag.
Fair enough.
No. It's perfectly fine. Rachel can, we can build Rachel up. That is perfectly fine.
It's great. We can all support each other.
That's right.
Very excited to now be done with Christmas and be talking about all the other seasons that Hallmark gave us this year and our favorites from the non-Christmas. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. And right now we're in Winterfest for 2019, so we're kind of immediately in the thick of things. And so we each have our top 10 list. And would you agree, Ruth, that it was a struggle to make?
Yes. It was very difficult, and but I will say this year, I think I did a better job of being, not letting my bias, force me into picking some movies that I might have picked. Uh-huh. There were some that I really wanted to pick, and I almost felt bad not putting them in my top 10, because they were very close. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of these in the top 10 could easily tie, for whatever, some of these are very close. And there were a lot of excellent picks that Hallmark did over 2018. I think it was an incredible year for them.
Yeah. I mean, I had about 30 that I could have put in my top 10, to be honest, that I really enjoyed. So, it's going to be, I think our lists are going to be really different, which will be really fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get started. So my number 10 is the Good Witch, Tale of Two Hearts movie. I mean, just having Mayor Martha defecting to Blairsville was so funny. I kind of wish that they had kept it longer. They hadn't resolved it in the movie. But nevertheless, it was still really funny. And I thought there were a lot of really cute moments, like when they find that tunnel and they're going in there. And I liked that Phil was gone. That made me happy. I don't know, just the whole like mythos of like, I liked how they had like this sort of, it felt like sort of watching Once Upon a Time at the beginning. I thought that was fun, having this whole fairy tale kind of aspect to it. And there's the Heart of Middleton in the stone. And that was all just, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And I thought the whole cast was just bring in like they always do, and they were all great. So that's what I have at 10. What about you, Amber? What do you have at 10?
So my number 10 is probably going to start a fight, so I'm ready. My number 10 is Home by Spring.
Oh my God.
Really?
I really enjoyed that movie.
Wow.
I found like so many of those things very funny that were in the show that Rachel was just like, they're stupid.
I hated it. Yeah.
Rachel hated it. It's her least favorite movie of like all time.
Yeah.
And wow. Everyone should take her opinions very seriously because Rachel is now a Rotten Tomatoes approved
That's critic. Right. That's right.
But no, I found so much of it to be funny and just kind of a little bonkers. And I don't know. I feel like we could use some more bonkers. Uh-huh. But I just liked it. So it's my number 10.
Good. Everybody gets to have their own list.
That's right.
All right. So Ruth, what do you have at your number 10?
For my number 10, I have The Beach House.
Okay, good.
At number 10. And that actually probably for me, the main reason that movie worked so well, that had been a long time anticipation. I mean, Andy McDowell had announced that movie so long ago that she was going to be doing it. And I began to despair that it wouldn't even, that, you know, that the deal had fallen through. She wasn't going to do it because I'm a huge fan of Andy's. Have watched a lot of her. I became a huge fan during Cedar Cove. And so watching that, I really was not incredibly familiar with a lot of the rest of the cast. I mean, since that time I've become a little more familiar, but I absolutely loved the way that she portrayed her character. I thought it was very emotional. The story. I had not read the book. I had planned on reading the book before I saw the movie, but it didn't work out. And so I don't know how much it followed the book, but it was beautifully shot. The story for me was I don't even know if my expectations were incredibly high. I mean, I expected to like Andy, but I didn't know how much I would like the story or how much I would connect with it. And it's one of the few Hallmark movies where I actually got really emotional at the end.
Uh-huh.
And so that one comes in at 10 for me.
Cool. Yeah. That one's in my top 20. I enjoyed it. I thought they do make some changes from the book, but that's expected.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference is they flesh out the pregnant girl character a lot more in the book. But yeah, I really enjoyed it too. My favorite part about that movie was just all the flirty moments between Chad Michael Murray's character
and
Kelly. I thought that they were really cute. I enjoyed that. So very good. All right. So my number 9 shows growth as a person for me. Mm-hmm. It is Garage Sale Mysteries, The Pandora's Box Mystery.
Oh,
I know. Shocker. Wow. This one, I thought Garage Sale Mysteries converted me to mystery shows. I thought that it was so much better than any of the other shows, except for maybe Dara Dara, but I don't really count that as a mystery show. I count that as a courtroom drama. Mm-hmm. I just thought that it was really fun. The family dynamics were really fun and the sleuthing dynamics were really fun, both sides. And I liked how they film it with her, like having that sort of extra perception of things. And this one I thought was fun because it had so many characters and I thought they did a good job obfuscating pretty well. Mm-hmm. And you had Lane Edwards in this. You had Antonio Cupo in this. Mm-hmm. You had a great cast. I just really enjoyed it. And I thought it was pretty clever with who killed the woman. Yeah. And so, yeah, there you go. Look at me having a mystery in my
That's team. Something. Good I for know. You. That one almost made my top 10. It was very close. I almost put that one in my top 10. So
I like the whole Andronicus. That was like a great name for a like wealthy family. And yeah, I liked all the Groucho mysteries. I thought they were all good.
Yes, and me too.
Mm-hmm. I'm a convert. So Amber, what do you have at number 9?
So at number 9, I have the movie where Cameron Matheson is allergic to clothing. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I have A Summer to Remember. Oh. And this is a summer that I will actually always remember, because this is when I became a grown-up and fell in love with Cameron Matheson.
Yeah. That's funny.
But well, yeah, this movie was great. Catherine Bell has really become one of my favorites as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked all of the secondary characters. I loved the like photographer girl and
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she was so good. Yeah.
And the like daughter guy. That mm-hmm. them all day. Yes, please.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number 9.
So are you officially on Team Catherine Bell?
I think point? I am on Team
yes. Catherine Bell. We're making such progress cool. as people. Look at us.
That one almost made my top 10 too. It was really close.
That one for me is number 13. Mm. So pretty close. Yeah,
it was close. I didn't rank. I know you Rachel are really good at ranking all of them. Yeah. And I stopped at 10. I didn't actually go and rank the others.
That's smarter. You have less temptation to change your ranking.
Right, right. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
What is your number 9?
Well, my number 9 is a One Winter Weekend. Which I know probably, I have a feeling that Rachel might have rated that one higher than the number 9.
Your feelings are correct.
Hey,
well, it was hard. but I probably don't have to go into too much detail about why One Winter Weekend is in my top 10. But I mean, this was, for me, was such a wonderful storyline, wonderful cast. I had become a fan of Taylor Cole's, but this film really like kicked my fan worship into high gear. Yes.
Yeah, like your fan was blowing on like the low setting and then now on the high setting.
Right. Right. Because I had been a fan of Taylor Cole's since Appetite for Love was my introduction to her. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I'd been watching her, but this one, like, really, it was like, wow, you know, this is really cool. And, you know, Jack Turner, you know, I've been a fan of his from My Summer Prince. That was when I first saw him, and I loved him in that. And, but this was just, I felt even a step up for him. The role was better for him. And you know, Rakia, do I have to even say any more? I mean, I have an interview that will be coming with Rakia that is pretty phenomenal. And
all four of them were so strong. I think they're really good.
It was like you had, and I know you said this last year, I think when we covered Winterfest, that it was like you had four leading instead of having just two leads, it was like you had four leads, because they really did give the supporting cast or the supporting leads. They really gave that secondary couple quite a major storyline. You couldn't ignore them, and it was nice to see. And what a good way to really inject the diversity into the storyline. And Hallmark carried that theme. That was back in January. And they carried that theme. You kept seeing more and more diverse casts as the year went on.
Yeah.
And I think that One Winter Weekend set a really good precedent for that.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right. I agree. All right. So my number 8 is The Sweetest Heart. I really liked this one because I really liked the fact that you had three different couples kind of at different stages of their various romances. I liked all of the couples. You know, I love Chris McNally. He is so dreamy to me. And I thought that him and Julia did a good job together. I also really liked Tammy Gillis and Andrea Brooks. Mm-hmm. And their guys. I can think of their guys' names, but they were really fun. And I just like, I like these movies with like multiple sort of romances. And even though they had disgusting cupcakes, although I'm told from Andrea Brooks that they were actually good. She claims that the rosemary and a pine nuts was actually good. To take her word on that. But
it was actually chocolate. And they were just acting like it was rosemary and pine nuts.
Maybe. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun, like, witty banter. I liked Tammy Gillis's character in particular, and how she was like it was so telling to me, like, as soon as you're, as an older single, as soon as your friends get engaged, they immediately think they can tell you exactly what you're doing wrong with your life. Yeah. And that was very truthful of that to me. And so I really enjoyed it. So I have it at number 8. So Amber, what do you have at number 8?
At number 8, I have once again another controversial for Rachel pick. which just goes to show that I am better at humor than Rachel is. I chose Yes, I Do.
Yes, oh, that's a great one. Mark Rosner
and Jen Lilly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a great one.
I found a lot of the elements to be really funny. It felt to me like a throwback to screwball comedy. Mm-hmm. Jen Lilly didn't say that, but I don't care what she said. That's what happened. Right. And I just really loved it. Uh-huh. And to be fair, like, Marcus Rosner's character was impossibly perfect, and I didn't mind that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we even had a shirtless. We had like a part of a shirtless
scene. That's right. You know,
as I've told Marcus, that is a theme with his movies. So it's
yeah, I liked that part. I did not like the movie. It wasn't for me. I just didn't think they were in love at all, and I didn't think they trusted each other at all. So I didn't have any investment in it. And I just didn't enjoy it. So that's okay, though. We can all have different lists.
Well, that one was very, I mean, that was probably number 11. I mean, that was one that I had a really hard time not putting that on my list. It pained me to cross it off because I wanted it on my list. And I was like, oh.
Good.
But anyway.
So what's your number 8 then?
Garage Sale Mystery, Murder in D Minor.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Right.
And that one, it was so weird. It was just on. It was on tonight again.
Oh, really?
My mom happened to turn the TV on, and I was like, oh, that's the movie.
Yeah.
And that one, I think what I really liked about that one, I was kind of set up to like it because I had talked with Kevin O'Grady, Detective Linwood. I had talked with him before the movies even aired, and he said, well, this one has an international flair to it. And so when I got to that one, I was watching for that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Allison Wanzura was in it. Now, I went into it because as I've mentioned before, I go through the cast list before the mysteries come on and pick my murderer out. And most of the time I'm right just based on that. Even if it doesn't make sense, if I can look at the list, I can usually figure out who the murderer will be. And so I had her picked out, but what I will say is she played her part so impeccably that you didn't see her as the murderer. She was this sweet girl, and then all of a sudden she makes this change, and when she made that change, she really, really bought into it. I was like, man, this is really quite something. She did it very, very well. And I just liked having the international part to it, and bringing all that kind of stuff in it, the German stuff and all that, I think was kind of fun.
It was really good. And I loved those two guys, the Fraser estate, whatever guys.
Yep.
They, you don't watch The Simpsons, but they kind of reminded me of Sideshow Bob and his brother on The Simpsons, or like the two, Fraser and Niles Crane on the same voices, same people.
Yes. Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
And I don't know. They were really, I thought, funny. And at first they were trying to make it out like they're the murderers, but I knew no way. These people are too over the top to be the murderers.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah.
So that one was my second favorite of the garage sale mystery.
Yeah.
it was a really fun one. So I see why you have it at number 8. All right. So my number 7 is Royal Hearts. And if you know me, you know that I love curmudgeonly grumpy old men. And I don't know if it's just because my grandpa was a very curmudgeonly grumpy old man, but he wasn't very lovable. And so, like, I like these movies where they...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Turn lovable. It's like a fantasy. It's like for me.
Right.
But I really liked, you know, Sidney Busby's adorable, but James Brolin, like, complaining about his dog and sitting on that throne and being like, I just really enjoyed his antics. I thought, that's what I think is funny. And we all have different things we think are funny. I thought he was really funny. I thought that him and that bar owner were cute. I enjoyed that. Yes. I liked Cindy. She's adorable. The two guys were pretty swoon worthy, I think, and was fun. And I liked the whole castle in Romania and all of that was very well done. And we had so many princess movies this year. And this was personally my favorite.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I have it at number 7. What about you, Amber? What do you have at number 7?
My number 7 has already been mentioned on this podcast. It is The Good Witch, Tale of Two Hearts.
It was so good.
It really was. And for all the reasons that Rachel said, I'm still mad that Martha left Blairsville, and I think Blairsville should have won the whole thing. See our podcast on that for more details. Yeah. But anything that can get me that riled up on behalf of Martha is a great show. So I really loved it. And I am so excited for it to come back again.
Too.
So countdown to
April. April. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. all right, Ruth, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is The Perfect Bride, Wedding Bells.
That was a good one.
Actually, but I put it number 7. And this one, I was already looking forward to it because, of course, you have Pascal and Kevin. And what I loved, though, is that then Casey Manderson was brought back.
Yeah, I forget he was in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually one of the reasons that I refused to consider taking it out. There, at one point, I considered taking it out, and I actually couldn't.
Oh, of your list?
Because I kept seeing him in my mind, and it had nothing to do with, I mean, he'll probably never listen to the podcast. I'm not saying, I mean, maybe he will, but he may not even have the time, because I know he's really busy right now. Very, very busy. And, it's not about being faithful to him, but it was just, I loved what he did. I really enjoy, Kevin and Pascal and, for me, I personally thought it was a fairly good sequel. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed that they brought so many people back. They brought back, even the owner of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause she actually,
because
they like go into business together or something. Yeah. Cause he's,
and at least they didn't bring back that other fiance though.
Well, now see, I would have loved that. Personally, I would have loved having her come back, because I would have loved to have had her come back and have a redemption story, I think, would be but that's,
or like have her fall in love with Lane Edwards.
There, that would have been cute. Yeah, that would have been something.
In the third one.
Right.
I definitely our interview with Lane is one of my favorites we've ever done. I was just dying laughing, and for all things, and so any movie that he's in, I think for now to eternity, I'll feel more like, I mean, I'm going to see that dog movie this week. I feel like I got to support Lane because he is the best.
Right.
Anyway, very good. Very good pick. Okay. So number six for me is Very, Very Valentine. And this was so sweet. I just loved it. It was so romantic. I loved the whole masquerade ball. I really liked Damon Runyon. I thought that he was pretty likable for that kind of role. And he was very, very sexy and great. And then you have Cameron Mathison, who was like sweet, adorable boy next door kind of sexy. And he was great. And it had a lot of tropes, but I just really enjoyed it. And I thought that Danica was just so adorable. And I think that Marcy Holland did a great job on the script. And I just really enjoyed it. So now I have a number six.
All right.
So Amber, what about you?
My number six is sort of more like when they give the Oscar to something at the end of a, you know, a series or something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or like the Emmys to something on its last leg and it's been on for 40 years.
This is like your Return of the King nomination.
Yes. It's akin to that, but it is Signs Still Delivered to the Altar. I felt they did so many things in that. And I was torn really, because I think technically as a movie on it, like a standalone movie, I enjoyed The Road Less Traveled more. But when you take into account the sentimental value of this movie, which I believe is the last, and we should just leave it there because it was so great. Because you don't want to just drag something out and then it gets stupid, because they're going to have to introduce conflicts and blah, blah, blah to keep
it. Yeah, I think that it totally is the ending. They even have a toast at the end about their time together. I mean, I feel like, you know, but feel free, postables, to prove us wrong. Hopefully we're wrong.
I loved so many things about this movie. It was so sweet and so romantic and so fun. So this is why it is my number six.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Ruth, what about you?
Well, my number six is Falling for You.
Good one.
That was...
It's too bad Tyler Hines isn't that charming, right?
Right. Oh my goodness.
Just turn it up a little bit more here.
Yeah. Well, he did figure in big to the reason that it came in at number six. Because he's pretty incredible on the screen and off the screen, I would say.
Yeah.
Just my interactions with him off screen have been fantastic, and. And that one I loved again, Taylor Cole. I don't think I've ever chosen two favorite films in one year starring Taylor Cole. So I think that 2018 was like the year of Taylor Cole, and I kind of feel like that's going to continue.
Yeah. I mean, she's got a mystery and a sequel in 1 month in 2018.
Yes. So I think that Taylor Cole has really, I think 2018 really established her as like one of the Hallmark top leading ladies. I really do believe that. And I think we're going to,
She did a preview special.
She did. You're right. You're right. Yeah. She and Rakia did, which was wonderful. That was a really fun one. Fun preview special. Definitely. But then it was really neat to see Allison Wanzura in like a nice part for a change.
She's
always playing these incredible psychopaths and this horrible one who's trying to steal
the bakery.
And when she plays the other woman, I mean, she plays it right. I mean, it's true. She does. And usually Hallmark, she has that. She's always playing the other woman, the murderer. When you see her elsewhere, it's like she's always playing these characters that are not nice. Mm-hmm. And you know, I happen to know she's very nice. I mean, and I know you guys feel the same way, yeah. But it's like, I've actually met her now. So I can say that, yeah, she is very nice. And so that was great. And then I loved this whole idea of this bachelor bake-off. I mean, it was just like, wow, that was just such a totally cool idea. The moment I heard that, I knew I was going to like the movie. It's like, I didn't care about anything else. I just wanted to see the Bachelor bake-off. And Madison Smith, and I don't remember now I'm trying to remember who played his brother, and it's completely lost on me, because I know, and I feel bad, because I know that I know who played his brother, but it's escaped me.
Is it Matt Visser?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Those two, it was, I know it was very small, but it was so hilarious to see the two of them on screen together. They acted so much like brothers. And so just for me, I figured I'd enjoy the movie, but I ended up enjoying it more than I thought I would. And so it was really a surprise. I wouldn't have thought, if you would have told me, I would have been putting it in my top 10. You know, I probably would have said, nah, it's not going to go in my top 10. It'll be okay. It'll be fun, but it's not going to go in my top 10. Here it is at number 6. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think the true star of Falling for You was Joao Boutkin's script.
Oh, well, and yeah.
Where I realized that she's just one of my favorite people. She's amazing. Yeah. And I think she did. You tell that was a fresh voice.
Yes.
Fresh. Similar to Road to Christmas. Like, it just felt like this is a new voice. And sure enough, it was a new writer, Zach Hugg, and he did an amazing job.
Right.
And so it's fun when you get that in the, like, the veterans do an amazing job too, but I don't know. It's also cool sometimes to get some.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Very good. And so, okay, what, now I've lost track. We're at number five, correct?
Five.
Sorry. Okay. So my number five is the Darrow and Darrow Body of Evidence. Yeah. So this was the last of the ones.
Yes.
And I was really surprised I just thought this was so charming. Mm-hmm. I really liked the case. I thought it was just really slickly mm-hmm. written. I thought Wendy Malick had some really fun moments. Yes. I liked it better than the first one of the year. Mm-hmm. I was surprised when I looked on the ratings. This one did very badly. So I hope that doesn't mean we'll get less. Like, usually Hallmark Movies and Mysteries get around 1.2 to 1.5, and this had 0.78.
Oh.
So I hope that doesn't lead to less, because I like these series, and I like these actors. Right. And I think they're really charming. And so that's what I have at number five.
Oh, that one pained me to not put in my top 10. Yeah, it was, again, very close. Yeah. So
also, am I crazy, or does that mean Rachel has two mysteries?
That's true. She does.
It's
mystery hater Rachel.
I consider it a courtroom drama. I don't consider it a mystery,
but it is, Rachel. That is a mystery. It is on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries.
That's true. Well, I mean, if you're going to count anything on that channel, I have three on that.
Yeah,
from that channel.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would. Yeah,
it's this out of control. I don't know what's happening to me, but
you've got more mysteries than I do.
I don't
on my
know.
List.
It's crazy, but I did really enjoy this one, and my only request would, at this one, I think they got so close to kissing, and I'm like, come on, what?
but
I know they want to drag it out because people like that, but anyway, it was really cute. So Amber, what do you have at number five?
At number five, I have a movie that has already appeared on somebody else's list. Mm. Mm.
Oh.
And like you said about them dragging out relationships and putting in silly conflicts, this movie did none of those things. This was The Perfect Bride, Wedding Bells.
Ah.
I'm sure they had some conflicts, but they never were like going to break up
right.
or step back from the wedding. I mean, they were maybe going to postpone the wedding, but they never were like, we're not going to get married. Yeah. And I really appreciated that. Put that on top of their amazing chemistry, plus the addition of Casey Manderson and Lane Edwards.
Yeah.
This movie was unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much. And that is why it is my number five.
That's a good pick. I did appreciate the fact, that the focus was always on the marriage, not on the wedding, which I appreciate.
Yeah. And true.
And they had like semi-realistic like impediments, you know, that felt like he was doing his gallery show, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, she was working on buying the club. Like, it was pretty realistic impediments as opposed to sometimes where it feels like, you know, come on. But very good pick. I like that.
And I also like that they signed up to do the wedding in the shortened period of time
before
they were given these conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, I mean, we can just postpone the wedding and then still get married and still be in love. And and like, even when there was the overheard thing where she was like, something, and then he walked off, but like, he didn't walk off, he was like, come on, let's go talk about this, and I was like, communication, understanding, what is this? Incredible, that's what it is. So
and a really good proposal in that one too.
Very good. Yes.
So Ruth, what's your number five?
Okay, so my number five is a complete dark horse to me. I did not expect this at all. This was actually the last movie that I saw of 2018. I actually just saw it this weekend because it had been on my DVR. What happened was it premiered during the time that I was at the Hardy's family reunion.
Oh.
And so and I really desperately wanted to see it because I had interviewed the lead actor, and I was so sad that I wasn't getting to see it on its premiere date. So when I got back, I asked my mom how it was, and she said, "Oh yeah, it was okay." And I thought, "Oh no, it's not." I thought, "No, it's going to be really bad. I'm not going to like it." And so I'll just keep putting it off and I'll get caught up in Christmas and one of these days I'll watch it. And so then you invited me on this podcast and I thought, well, that's the only movie from 2018 I have not seen. So I thought, okay, it's Cameron Matheson. I love Cameron Matheson, so it can't be that bad. So let's just sit down and watch it. And I sat down and started watching it. And I was like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And good. So this movie is Love, of Course. And really one of the reasons that this one I know connected with me big time is in 2 years, my daughter graduates from high school.
Yeah.
And so for me right away, I'm able to make a connection. As far as Karen Matheson playing professor, well, of course, my education stuff is all taking place at a college. All that is making all sorts of connections with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got into it and I loved, I didn't know if Karen Matheson could pull off being a professor. When I saw that he was going to be a professor, I was like, oh, can he do it? And I was like, well, he did, so. I should know better because I've never seen him not pull a part off. But
well, he was like, because they love having the scientific farmer.
Yeah,
and that's basically what he kind of was. Like it was sort of very similar to the Victor Webster character in Harvest Wedding, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah. And so I really got into the movie, and so then I talked to my mom about it later, and she didn't even remember the movie. And so I had the discussion with her and then she remembered it and she's like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a good one. And I'm thinking, you told me it was only okay. and I really had not seen Kelly Rutherford in very much. And I know that was their first time making a movie together. I love the line dancing. I really did love the line dancing in the movie. probably because, I remember Cameron told me that was actually that when he came to set, the director set it up that they were going to take a line dancing class together. And so that's actually, his kind of first interactions with Kelly Rutherford was at the line dancing class. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, there were a lot of very swoon-worthy moments in that movie. It was a lot better than I expected it to be, because I had never seen anything with her before. And I don't know, for some reason, the trailers just weren't, the promos weren't grabbing me.
Right.
And then we went on the bubbly sesh for the first time to talk about that movie. And that was really fun. We had a good memory with that. And I really liked the relationship between her and her daughter. I
think it
was pretty well written in that. And that I liked the fact that the daughter was kind of wasn't super like needy, but like was also kind of like, it's okay if you call me every now and then. Like, I like their dynamic. I thought it felt pretty real, pretty natural. It was good. Very good pick. All right. We're down to number four. It's very exciting. I have Love at First Dance. This is my favorite Nina movie of the year by far. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it did a lot of things that other Hallmark movies don't do. I really appreciated that she was presented with two good choices, not abandon your career for a man in the leave the city and abandon your career, which I hate. She was presented, she could run the dance studio there, and that was a good choice. Or she could go and be the choreographer in London, which was scarier and riskier, but also a good choice. And so she's debating between, and I really thought that that was really well done. I thought that the breakup was when it was very well done. It felt like these are two friends who really do care about each other. And I thought it was very tender and like sweetly done. And I really liked his fiance. I thought that like she actually seemed to care about what she was doing in her career and her life. And I thought that she was a pretty well-written character. And I thought that there were a lot of cute moments, and they managed to straddle that sort of, we're getting more attracted to each other, but we're with other people kind of a thing pretty well. And like, I liked the scene where they're dancing in the fountain was really cute. And I liked the ending a lot, because it was basically like the start of their relationship. They'd had no relationship before. And so when he shows up there, I thought that was very swoon worthy and really fun. And overall, I liked the fact it was actually filmed in New York, so it felt a little more authentic. And I just really enjoyed it. And so there you go. I have it at number four. Amber, what do you have at number four?
My number four is a movie that has been on someone else's list already. Yeah. This is my favorite thing to do, by the way. This movie stars a very handsome man. And it's
a good clue.
It's a very, very Valentine. This is really the movie where I was like, Cameron Matheson, huh? And then it was solidified in A Summer to Remember. But what I really liked about this movie was the whole, it just felt like so many classic tales woven together in a very like original and organic way. It was like Cyrano de Bergerac and also Cinderella and, you know, the Rose from Beauty and the Beast. True. And so I really enjoyed that. And I think the chemistry between Cameron and Danica was amazing. So yes, it is my number four.
Very good. I agree. So very good. All right, Ruth, what do you have at number four?
So my number four is All of My Heart, The Wedding. First of all, it's Brennan Elliott, and that's always
a plus.
That's always big. And of course, then you have Lacey Chabert. The list goes on. I met Pauline Egan, who played the not so nice character that turns out to be nicer than you think she is, but you know, she's not sitting there. And they brought back, you've got Heather Dirksen's character comes back, and she's still got her love interest. And then the executive producer, Beth Grossbard, is just wonderful. She's actually the reason I got to interview Lacey. So she was because she's always contacting me. She and I have a mm-hmm. real connection, and she told me all about the movie and all that. So what I really enjoyed about this one, honestly, is I love the movie throughout. I actually thought it worked much better than the second one. The second one was good, but this one, and the first one, of course, was fantastic, but this one I thought really worked well. And I love the fact that we had so much time at the wedding, because in these movies, you don't usually get a whole lot of time at the wedding. And they really took a lot of time to, and they added in a lot of special things. Since both Brendan Elliott and Lacey Chabert were both executive producers on this, they were able to add more into it, more parts to make it more authentic for them. Uh-huh. And so that was really neat. I just enjoyed the story. I felt like it was a nice treat, you know, and I've been a huge proponent of the series from the beginning. And so it's always been a very special series, and it was nice to see this one come
I agree with you. I think that it was a huge improvement over the second film, mm-hmm. and it was way better than I was expecting it to be by the synopsis. The synopsis mm-hmm. was like, it sounded like a repeat of yeah. the second movie. I was more positive about the second one than a lot of people, mm-hmm. but I'm like, now we're going to get it a third time. That was like, oh my gosh, uh-huh. but it actually wasn't the case. Yeah. It wasn't true. Like, he didn't really think about going back to Wall Street. Like, that wasn't real.
Right.
I don't know what the summary was up to, but yeah, it was yeah. really sweet. And I thought that it was almost like, it felt a little like Frank Capra-ish to me.
Yeah. Sort of, yes.
The whole town coming together.
Yes, there was that whole part.
Paying their rent, and, I mean, their mortgage, whatever. Yeah. And, and then her realizing that, like, these people really do care. It was very sweet. Yeah. I can't imagine anyone being offended by this movie. It was so yeah. sweet. Yeah. And so I did actually enjoy it way more than I thought I was going to. Yeah. What about you? Amber, do you get to see this one?
Yeah, I saw it, and I did like it more than I liked the second one.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody not feeling that way. That's probably going to be the second one. Anyway, all right. All right, my turn. Okay, so my number three is One Winter Weekend. I loved it. I thought it was very well written. It had a nice little sort of witty banter between all our leads. I thought it was just a really well-executed romantic comedy. I liked how there was sort of the workplace element where Rekia keeps getting the calls from her boss, mm-hmm. and then finally she has to sort of stand up to her boss, and I liked that. I thought that was really good. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I really did enjoy it, and I'm excited for the sequel, mm-hmm. and it did win me over to Taylor Cole and really start enjoying her performances. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I have a number three. What do you have at number three, Amber?
So my number three is a movie that has appeared on both of your lists. Oh. And just kidding, it's also One Winter Weekend. Oh. Yeah. That movie, like everyone said, has been so great. It's amazing. Obviously, it deserves a sequel. Yeah. But another thing about this movie that I like is that it's our first step to an actual ensemble
yeah
movie that's not a series, like, so right. it's Ansel Delivered as a series, but it's right. an ensemble, and right. so that means we're just one step closer to our mega movie, the Firehouse movie,
yes.
the Bachelor weekend movie, the Bachelorette party weekend movie, you know, yeah. any of those.
Very true.
So
yeah,
but like, I can't say enough good things about this movie. Yeah. This is the movie that converted me to Taylor Cole.
Yeah, it really was so good. Very good. Okay. And Ruth, what do you have at number three?
Well, my number three is, has been mentioned. Signed, sealed, delivered to the altar
okay.
is what I have Excellent. At number three. And of course, I've been a postable from the beginning. I actually can say there's not very many of us who were there from the beginning pushing it from the beginning, back when the pilot aired way back when, and the 10 episodes, and we pushed and we worked our tails off to get more episodes. And I mean, I gave up my Sundays regularly. And so for me, Science of Delivered to the Altar was a wonderful experience. And what even made it better, because I actually considered not ranking it as high as I had. But what really made it better is when I thought about this movie, I thought about the fact that I watched this with my daughter and we enjoyed watching it because she's been a fan from the beginning as well. And she's watched all the movies. And it's the one Hallmark movie, the Hallmark series that she and I can agree on. she gave up on When Calls the Heart once the engagement happened. She was done with When Calls the Heart.
She was like, that's too many candles.
Yeah, exactly. that is true. But that I still have the memory of my mom and my daughter over there laughing during the proposal and saying that he had to have gotten all the pickle jars and how did he get that many pickle jars? I mean, I still have that memory. So for me, it's like so that's when she, that's but this hilarious. Is the one series that she has continued. She so identifies with Rita. So it was really neat to see that wedding happen.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you. And I gave two perfect, well, technically I gave four perfect scores, but to non-Christmas, two perfect scores. So really, my top two are tied. They're the same level of love from me. But so my second pick is Science of Delivered to the Altar. This is very exciting. And I think there were a lot of other really, I mean, everything's been said and I agree with everything that's been said. But I thought the whole thing with the green tie was so fun. So romantic. Great. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. Especially with Oliver's character being so stuffy that to see him with that tie was kind of like, it was very fun. And and I thought his proposal was very romantic and very well done. And I really, I liked actually the little case with the wedding dress and the mother who's the maid. Yes. I thought it was really good. Yeah. Very moving. And I liked when Rita says to her, you know, it's not a lost cause or something to that effect, you know, that like my mother has died. Make sure you don't miss that chance. I thought that was very moving.
Right.
And I just liked pretty much everything. Some of the Carol Burnett and the Banshee tribe stuff was a little not my favorite, but other than that, I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was really romantic and really lovely. I loved when Norman and Oliver were talking about going to the movies. That was hilarious, so good, and so I really enjoyed it, and I hope that we'll all be surprised and there'll be another one.
Right.
But I think if you had to go out, that's the way to do it. And it made me really happy. So I really enjoyed it. And what do you, Amber, have at number two?
At number two, I'm continuing my trend of lead actors or actresses who prior to this, I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of. So this movie, I didn't have great expectations for. And it really wowed me. I gave it, I think, like 4.7 crowns or something. And of course I'm talking about Pearl in Paradise, starring Jill Wagner and he grew on me, Christopher Palaha. And I just really loved so many things about this movie. I think I really enjoyed seeing Christopher Palaha as sort of a fastidious nerd guy, because I think the problem with him for me is like he was too cool. Like I like didn't trust him, and you know, he was a little bit more uptight in this, so I think it helped me like him more. And I can't say enough good things about Jill Wagner. I think she is incredible. I think they had amazing chemistry, and then here the side characters, the supporting cast, I thought was incredible. And Fiji was amazing.
I was so surprised by that whole sort of subtle message about faith. I was not expecting that to sort of come up in this movie. And I thought it was really surprising and sweet. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was really good. Good choice. And her interview was one. I'm really excited because I'm going to get to talk to her again. I'm actually going to get to talk to her on my birthday. So that'll be really fun to get to talk to my cousin on my birthday. she was definitely one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. She was just hilarious. Yeah. Had so many great stories and was just really fun. So, anyway, that'll always have really good memories to me about that movie. So good choice. So Ruth, what do you have at number two?
Oh, my number two has been mentioned previously. Royal Hearts.
So fun.
When that movie, now I fully expected to enjoy it because it's Cindy Busby, James Brolin, so I fully expected that and Romania and, you know, I knew it was a princess type, you know, royal story, but that's okay. You know, those have grown on me. I think at first I was rather against those, but Hallmark's had some really good ones last year. But I agree that this is by far their best royal film.
Yeah.
This one, I would say, definitely. This one, I absolutely loved James Brolin's character. My dad, who loves Hallmark, but in more recent times, just because of a variety of his health issues, his attention span is not what it once was. Mm-hmm. But he loved James Brolin in this one. Yeah. He was taken with a lot of the things that a lot of James Brolin's antics, and so that. I think there were some things because if I ever find my dad enjoying a film, sometimes I'll think, you're enjoying that film. Do you have a clue what you're watching? This sometimes it is that because I don't say that to him because I realize that his brain is not what it once was. I understand that's just the kind of the progression of the disease. But it's always nice for him to be able to enjoy something.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he was able to sit and enjoy at least parts of this, I don't know if he watched the whole thing, but he enjoyed James Brolin. And I loved Cindy Busby. She was absolutely fantastic in this. I think this one, if they were going to do a sequel to a royal film, you know, like do a sequel to this one, definitely.
Yeah. I kind of liked too how, because a lot of times in these movies you have the girl who's the outsider coming in and it being like, how can you fall in love with our son? Whereas in this case, it was the men actually pursuing her and wanting to be with her.
Yep.
So I kind of liked that different dynamic. Like she definitely had the power in the situation as opposed to usually it's the royals that have the power.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it too. I thought it was really fun. So I'm with you. Yeah. Very good pick. All right. This is it. Number one. Woo! So my number one is Falling for You. I loved this movie. When they have the near kiss, I was like, oh, I was so irritated. And then when she's like, Zach, and she pulls him back and they go for it, I was like, yeah! I was so excited and I just thought there were so many things that kind of like Love at First Dance that you never seen a Hallmark movie that they did in this one that made me so happy. I like immediately contacted Joa and was like, we have to talk because you did such a great job, because I just thought the fact that she takes the job in the city was like amazing to me. And I thought the fact that like both of their careers were like respected and he still gave his presentation. It was a lot of times like in these kind of movies, you'll have like, he like leaves the presentation in the middle of things. And here it's like, no, I asked him if we could do it early.
Yeah.
Made it while work. And when like he's there, you know, all of a sudden and I totally thought it was very swoon worthy. I really liked it. I really liked just the whole ending with them, with her talking and saying, you know, that she decided to take the job and him talking about how he's going to support her and they would get through, you know, they would make it work together. I was just like, this is so functional and so like stable. It was great. And I thought they had really good chemistry. I liked the little side moments. I liked the little kid doing his podcast. That was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Right.
And that was fun. I liked all the little festivals were fun, of course, like Hallmark. They had like a jam festival. And then mm-hmm. they had that lantern walk. And I don't know. It just all worked. I thought, like, in my opinion, this is it. This is how you do a Hallmark movie. This is this is it. So I really enjoyed it. So that was my number one. But Amber, what do you have at number one?
Before I say my number one, I'd like to tell you my number 11, which was okay. Falling for You.
Okay, good.
I had a suspicion it would be Rachel's number one, so I wanted to save that reveal until then, just to let you know that it may not have made my top 10, but boy, was it close.
Yeah. Mm. It was okay. a fun movie. Yeah.
So my number one, it's going to be very controversial, but with all your royal heart's love, is my favorite of the princess movies, which is Once Upon a Prince.
That one was really fun. Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure what about this movie worked for me. I can't pin down like specific moments other than like the one time they showed a seal in the water and I thought that was hilarious. And then mm-hmm. I loved him wearing his working shirt when he was in the castle working in the garden. Right. But there was just an energy about this movie that was just so sweet and so delightful. Mm-hmm. And I loved it.
Yeah. I have no problem with that at all. Yeah. It's definitely in my top 20. I really enjoyed it. Tracy Andreen, another winner from her this year. She was just knocking it out of the park based on the novel that we both read that we both liked. Mm-hmm. I loved, it's not just that he was wearing the garden shirt. He was like rage wearing it, which was hilarious.
This is my protest shirt. Yeah. You can't make me forget her.
Yeah. And then the ending was so swoon-worthy with that tree.
Oh, the ending, I agree with that. Yeah.
It was really good.
No, I don't think that's terribly controversial. That was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, my number 11, if we're saying our 11s, it was actually Royally Ever After, just because I appreciated that movie, they started as a couple, which is unusual. Yeah. I love Fiona. She's so sweet. And the parents were kind of groan-worthy, but other than that, I really enjoyed that one.
So my number one has been mentioned previously.
Ooh.
And it is Pearl in Paradise.
Yes!
This was one that, I mean, I was already predisposed to like it because when I saw, okay, so it's being shot in Fiji. It's got Christopher Palaha. It's got Jill Wagner. You know, I saw the clip of the preview show, and from the moment, because I didn't really, I will admit that I try to stay away from a lot of the trailers and the press stuff. I mean, it's kind of funny because I know I'm interviewing people, but I try to stay away from all these things because I just want to be surprised about what's coming up. So when it's time for the preview show, I usually haven't done any research. I just try not to because I want to be surprised. And so when I saw the clip in the preview show, I was just like, oh my goodness, this movie is going to be so funny. It's like, I could not get the clip out of my mind, you know, having, you know, Christopher Plaha's character plunge, you know, trying to be so cool and he falls and it was great. I loved it. Yeah. And so then it ended up then, watching it. Now I was already a fan of both of these actors. But it went to another level after seeing them together, and suddenly it was just like, oh my goodness, these two are so phenomenal together. The story was fantastic. I did not expect the faith element either. In fact, when we were watching it, I think I had to play it back or something because I thought, because I almost missed it and my mom missed it. And I'm like, did you hear what I heard? And she's like, I think so. And so we actually played it back to make sure that that's what we really heard about there being a faith element in it. And I tell you, like, the ending of that film was just absolutely hilarious when she's talking on the phone to him and then look over and, you know, there he is. And then when I found out that they were that they were getting paired up again for a mystery film, I was like, oh my goodness,
Yeah.
Like, I, that makes perfect sense, but I didn't expect Hallmark to do that because they don't always do that. They don't always, you know, I can see it, but they don't always do what I can see.
Uh-huh.
I don't expect it. And so, I mean, this film is just, and I think that's why, when I saw Small Town Christmas, I know, I did not, I think I had such high expectations because I'd seen Pearl in Paradise. And so I was expecting like a knock out of the park movie again. Mm-hmm. And that one did not, not that I didn't like it. I enjoyed the film,
mm-hmm.
but I was expecting, I think, the same level of Pearl in Paradise. And so when it didn't deliver, it was almost like a letdown, which then I felt really bad. And so I told Christopher that I'll be sure to watch it again because I'm sure that I missed, I'm sure that it's, I think that's a lot of it, as I was expecting, because that it's like the bar was for me was raised so high, and I just now expecting everything, yeah. you know, like that's everything that he does, everything they do is going to be on that level. And I have to remember that's not always the case.
But. There was probably a little bit of me with that, with Yes, I Do. Yeah. I mean, I generally right. didn't really like it, but
right. I think yeah.
it was also a little bit like I just loved all three of all the previous movies.
Right.
And so yeah. with that collaboration.
And that happens. And sometimes I've found that when I go ahead, when I wait a while and I go back and watch those movies again, and I don't have that expectation, yeah. I'll think, oh, this movie was a whole lot better than I remembered it being.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, that's what happened with Christmas Detour. I always go back to that one because when I first saw Christmas Detour, I was kind of like, eh, it's okay. It's fun. Yeah, it's good. And then when I watched it again, I was like, oh, this is really good. And so yeah. now it's like become one of my favorites. That I rewatch whenever it's on, I find myself like watching it all over again. So
yeah, so
I know sometimes that happens with movies, is we get in our minds what we expect it to be, and then it doesn't reach that level that we're expecting, and it's like, oh, but it's actually good. It's just we have our expectations set differently.
Very good.
But,
great.
But Pearl in Paradise, definitely my favorite for 2018, and probably one of my all-time favorite. That and Royal Hearts both are probably on my all-time favorite list.
Yeah,
to be
very
honest.
Cool. Great. So good. I like all of our lists, and they're all different and fun. So let's go over our list real quick.
I like my list because I know in my heart you just want to be like no to some of them. So
it's not how I feel.
Not you.
There's only one on your list that I question, but then I remember this is Amber. Okay. Yeah. And not, that's not putting you down. That's remembering that you think differently than I do. And so, okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad that people liked that movie, and because I know a lot of people did, and I was just one that didn't. And so,
yeah, it just comes down to different sense of humor. Yeah. That's just like in intangible that you can't change that. Like what I find funny is different than what Amber finds funny.
Right. Exactly.
That's it. You know, and so,
yeah.
There you go. I just didn't like the romance in Yes, I Do. And I hated all of the humor in Help My Spring. I thought it was awful. So, but that's just, people are wired differently. I thought that James Brolin was really funny in Royal Hearts. Amber didn't think it was that funny.
Right.
So,
so there you go.
That's what makes people fun. Yeah,
that's right.
And, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go over our list real quick. Just real quick. And then I'll share with you the top six from our listeners.
Okay.
Very exciting. Okay. So I have The Good Witch at number 10, Tale of Two Hearts. I have Garage Sale Mysteries, The Pandora's Box at number 9. I have The Sweetest Heart at number 8. I have Royal Hearts at 7. I have Very, Very Valentine at 6. I have Darrow and Darrow, Body of Evidence at 5. I have Love at First Dance at 4. I have One Winter Weekend at 3. I have Signed, Sealed, Delivered to the Altar at 2, and I have Falling for You at 1. So, very fun. So, Amber, you want to go over your list?
Yes, I have the controversial Home by Spring at 10, A Summer to Remember at 9, the other controversial Yes, I Do at 8, Good Witch, Tale of Two Hearts at 7, Signed, Sealed, Delivered to the Altar at 6, The Perfect Bride, Wedding Bells at 5, Very, Very Valentine at 4, One Winter Weekend at 3, Pearl in Paradise at number two and Once Upon a Prince at number one.
Very good. And is One Winter Weekend the only one that we all had?
No, we also all had Signs Still Delivered to the
Right, right, right.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ruth, why don't you repeat your list real quick?
Okay, all right. So, number 10, The Beach House. Number 9, One Winter Weekend. Number 8, Garage Sale Mystery Murder in D Minor. Number 7, The Perfect Bride, Wedding Bells. Number 6, Falling for You. Number 5, Love, of Course. Number 4, All of My Heart, The Wedding. Number 3, Signs Still Delivered to the Altar. Number 2, Royal Hearts. And number 1, Pearl of Paradise.
Very good. All right. Well, this is very exciting. So we have the top 6 of our listeners. We polled everybody, just like we did for the Christmas podcast. Everybody gave us their top 5s. And if you had the movie at, we ended up with 68 votes. Ooh. And if you had whatever movie you had at number 1, got 5 points, 2 got 4 points, 3 got 3 points, 4 got 2 points, and 5 got 1 point. And so that's how we do this. Okay, so number 6, and I'm really surprised that didn't make your list, Amber, is Cooking with Love.
That
number 6
was number 12.
Okay, interesting. All right, number 6, yeah, Cooking with Love. Number 5, also one that wasn't on none of our list, is Love on the Slopes.
That was 13.
And then number 4 is Love at First Dance. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And then 3 was Falling for You. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Pearl in Paradise. Mm-hmm. And then number 1, Sansa Delivered to the Altar.
So, yeah, I mean, to be fair.
Yeah.
And it was a sizable victory.
Yes, I'm sure.
But there you go. That I thought that was interesting. That
did you disqualify people who voted for Signs Still Delivered to the Altar for all 5?
I didn't count it as, like, that was just 1 5-point.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. No, and I clarified that when I posted the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that you're only going to get.
Like, don't stuff the ballot box.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, and then everything else was quite a bit behind those 6. Those were the clear favorites of everybody. That's interesting. So, there you go. Very fun. So, and I liked all.
I'm not mad at anybody's choices. We're going to get to come to the day when Hallmark will just let us have a series recording of Hallmark premiere movies.
Yeah. I wish they at least.
Or even Winterfest.
That's movies. What I was just going to say. Like, even just the seasons, you could just record it. And like you do with Garage Sale Mysteries, you can just.
That would be wonderful. Well, you know, they could be working on that because they didn't always used to offer that with the mysteries. Last year was the first year they offered that with the mysteries.
Yeah.
And it is so nice because I've had multiple times where I think I've recorded it and then I go to live tweet and I'm like, crap,
you know what?
The
worst thing, the absolute worst thing for me is I thought I had set it up to record. There was a Christmas movie. I didn't set up to record and I missed the premiere and I was literally so mad at myself and I thought I'd let Hallmark down because that's how bad it is. Northern Lights of Christmas, of all movies, for me to not have set up to record.
Well, they kept changing that one around, so that one's a little
Well, I know, but I thought I'd set it up to record, so I went to watch it. I'm like, wait a minute, where is it?
Yeah.
I didn't set up to record, no, but I was so glad it was on the next day. So all the people who complain about Hallmark running movies so often and repeating them, I'm so glad they do.
I know.
Because when people like me, and I know there are other people who do it too, forget to record the movies, you think you've done it and you haven't.
Yeah.
It is so nice to know that they're going to come back on. It really is.
The only thing that I was annoyed about the app was that some people got a little like, congratulations, you've watched all of the movies they were posting on Twitter. And I was like, if anybody deserves a congratulations, it's me. Like, what? Why didn't I get a congratulations? I was very offended.
I don't want to say that they really need the season pass because I didn't record Winter Castle. And so now I have to wait a week until I can watch it. But that might be a true story.
Okay, good.
It'll be on this weekend. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is if it premiered the week before, they always show it immediately preceding the next premiere.
Yes.
Unless the new premiere is a sequel. So I'm not sure about this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, you're the best, Ruth. Thanks so much for doing this. And it was a wild and crazy year for Hallmark. And excited for the upcoming year to see, see what's going on. So
the hardest working in Hallmark. Well, I'm going to say that again. The hardest working woman in podcasting of Hallmark. Not podcasting. Dang it. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say Ruth works the hardest of any Hallmark fan in the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah. I get like a bronze medal and then there's like Ruth. It's like the gold medal. She does amazing.
But silver medalist is Bill Abbott.
Give me the bubbly sesh.
Bubbly Sesh does a pretty good job.
They did amazing. I mean,
they have really stepped up their game. I tell you, I've been impressed with them. Not that they were ever horrible, and I don't mean that they were ever horrible, but they really found their rhythm, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they covered every single movie its own episode. I don't know how they did it.
And they kept their energy level up, and they just were all happy
I'm just like, wow. But anyway, they're amazing. It's been a wild year, and I'm excited for what's coming up. Make sure you guys have listened to our interview with Cardi Wong that posted on Monday. It's going to be really fun. And let us know what your top 10 would be. If you are violently agree with some of our choices, let us know in the comments or on Twitter.
If you love Home at Spring, please at me.
Support my
cause.
Well, and in fairness, I had ones that you didn't like. So we both had ones that we both didn't like, and that's fine.
That's right.
Yeah, but I wasn't mean.
What?
Well, you guys had ones
that I did not like. Sweetest Heart. I don't think you were that much nicer about Sweetest Heart than
I didn't give it like half a crown.
You were pretty close. I think. I think you maybe gave it one.
I don't want to fight about this again.
Anyway, I didn't like that movie, and I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry because. Because the thing is, I want a sequel to that movie. So it's even though it wasn't my all-time favorite movie, I actually want a sequel.
Oh, Sweetest Heart. Yeah. Well, anyway, I have no problem with Amber liking what she likes. That's fine.
That's right.
So let us know what you think, and that'll be a lot of fun. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and all over social media. And if you give reviews and ratings on iTunes, we really appreciate it so much. And thumbs up on YouTube if you're watching on there. And Amber, where can people find you?
As always, I'm at Amber Brainwaves on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media on YouTube. I do weekly family movie nights, and you can now find me on Rotten Tomatoes, which is so crazy and exciting. So we'll have all that links below. And Ruth, where can people find you?
You can find me at my blog, which is mydevotionalthoughts.net. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RuthHill74 and on Facebook. My page is My Devotional Thoughts.
Great. And we'll have all that down below. And thanks so much again, Reef. We really appreciate it. And we'll be covering When Calls the Heart before we know it. So it'll be really fun.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye,
everybody.